listener in listener-supported free speech radio. And if you haven't yet gone from listener to supporter, please do so now. Give online at kpfk.org.
This is Quetzal Flores from the band Quetzal, and you're listening to KPFK 90.7 Los Angeles.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH, this is The Car Show, broadcasting to you every week on KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles, for over 50 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn from AutoWeek.com. Please, all I ask is that you go to AutoWeek.com. Click on my articles about 800 times. That's all I ask. I am joined this week and every week by the greatest co-host in the world, a practicing attorney and our Orange County Bureau Chief. Owner, by the way, I'd be remiss if I did not say owner of two Mazdas, a Miata and an RX-8, Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle.
Hey, Mark. Good to be with you.
And good to have you here. And Michelle, you know, let's just jump right into it. As you know, this great programming we and so many others are producing here at KPFK doesn't come for free. It takes money to get that 110,000-watt transmitter humming up there on top of Mount Wilson. So once again, it's time for
the KPFK On Air Fun Drive.
Don't turn your radio dials. Hang on. It's only going to be a minute that we're going to beg, that we're going to plead. Okay.
Hang
let's
on.
Have some dignity. Yes. Let's have some dignity.
KPFK says that this is the time to call them up or go on their website and help them out. Help them keep everything going here with their February fun drive. They are also telling us that a portion of your donations during the February fun drive will go to rebuilding and recovery efforts to those who've lost their homes in the recent California wildfires.
And that's going to Habitat for Humanity, too. So yeah. So we know that this is not money just, you know, they're not skimming this off the top and spending it on somebody's, slush fund somewhere. This goes, the money that you give goes to KPFK, and a portion of that donation also is given to Habitat for Humanity, Los Angeles. And that will help out all of our friends and neighbors who have suffered in this, our recent tragic happenings here in Los Angeles. So,
Rebuilding is getting started, and they're in phase one. Hopefully we'll get kicked up into phase two pretty soon. But in the meantime, Habitat LA is on the ground and is going to be helping with immediate support to these families. So if you would like to make a donation, please call the KPFK line, 818-985-5735.
Wait a minute. What was that number?
818-985-5735
but
for those in the back.
That's not the only way to donate, is it?
If you would like, and you don't want to call someone, but you'd rather do it through your computer, go to kpfk.org. And you will see the donation buttons on their homepage. Very, very easy to do. And if you also would like to donate in a different way, by donating one of those vehicles in your garage or driveway or behind your house or in your barn that you no longer need, you can donate it. And they have a special dedicated line for that here at the station. It's 877-573-5288.
Oh, that's interesting.
We hope that you can either donate through the website or giving them a call. Either way, the station appreciates it, and so does The Car Show.
Yeah, that would be an entirely appropriate way to support The Car Show is by giving a car to KPFK. So thank you for that contact information, Michelle. Now, see, that wasn't too bad, was it? It wasn't painful at all. You are helping. You got to give your money to something. It's tax season, right? You got to write something off.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, I think we should try to get into our calendar and bring people up to speed on things that are happening in Southern California to get their mind off of whatever troubles that they're currently handling. A lot of people have a lot of things. So
this is the first one's a really neat one that I have never been to, but I want to go. And if I'm if I get over this cold and crawl out of bed and I'm still alive, I might go tomorrow, February 9th, from 8 to 10 a.m. at Cable Airport, 1749 West 13th Street in Upland, is a show called Wings and Wheels. So it's at an airport. So you've got airplanes and cars. I think that's, you know, that's a little different from your average rod run. And as we have said before on this show, SoCalCarCulture.com has pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another thing just to keep in mind, folks, as we go through the calendar, is it's winter. And yes, we've had some great weather this winter, but we've also had some rain. So please just be mindful of the weather before you head out to your event. If it's raining, you know, you might want to check with the organizer and see if they're still going or if they're moving it inside or something like that.
Yeah. Like I said, if none of these fit your particular schedule, there'll be something at SoCalCarCulture.com. Here's another neat one. Again, I want to get to this one too. It sounds like fun. Long Beach High Performance Show and Swap Meet. That's the LKQ Pick Your Part presents the Long Beach High Performance Swap Meet Sunday, February 9th from 6 a.m. to 1 p.m., rain or shine. Now, it's supposed to be sunny, partly sunny, partly cloudy tomorrow. So that's Long Beach Veterans Stadium, 5,000 Lou Davis. That's all it says, 5,000 Lou Davis. I don't know what that, if that's a drive or not.
I think it's Lou Davis Boulevard.
LEWDAVIS in Long Beach, California. And if you have any questions, you can call 800-762-9785. Sounds like a fun deal, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. High performance show and swap meet. Bring your cash and bring your stuff to swap. Hey, did you know another thing that's helping fire victims is the Peterson Automotive Museum has stepped up and they're offering free admission on certain days. They've been actually doing this since January, but I kind of had to dig for this information, Mark. They didn't exactly broadcast it.
Well, so, you know, they technically maybe lose money on everybody that doesn't pay.
Well, of course they do, but we're going to tell it.
Just as we're fundraising, they have to fundraise too, so we're not shorting them on that.
Well, what you should do is if you get to Community Days on February 12th or 13th, which are the only two remaining, by the way, go buy something in their shop.
Right.
You but know, you can get
the thing is, Community Days means what? Free admission to the Peterson. Yeah. Yeah. For people impacted by the LA County wildfires, signups are required. Go to peterson.org. That's Peterson with all E's, just like Pete Peterson, the man who founded Hot Rod and Motor Trend and all those other things. Click on the banner for Community Days located under the Ken Block exhibit banner. And wait a minute, there's a Ken Block show coming up?
Why, yes, there is.
It's not opening this weekend, though. It's opening February 15th, so you have to wait another week. And it's called People's Champ, The Impact of Ken Block. That's at the Peterson Automotive Museum. It's and they say this innovative exhibit, which marks the most comprehensive public display of Block's collection ever assembled, celebrates the enduring legacy of one of motorsport's most legendary figures. So that sounds pretty cool. They've got, and they list here some of the cars that they have. Of course, the 1965 Ford Mustang RTR Unicorn. That thing is just, that's a work of art. That's cool to look at the way they have you might have seen this car. It's got the turbos coming up through the hood on both sides.
Absolutely crazy. Hood.
It looked pretty cool.
Hence that was the Unicorn name, right?
It was in Gymkhana 7 and Gymkhana 10 and Climbkhana. And then there are a bunch of others. He drove some Subaru Impreza WRX STIs. Those will be there. Ford Escort RS Cosworth WRC.
Ooh, cool.
Ford and a Ford, just a plain old Ford Escort 1976 Block's car.
And a Porsche. I see a Porsche on this list. A 2022 Porsche 911 SVR SR called oh gosh, I don't know if I can say this, Hunapigasus.
Hunapigasus. Yeah, I've seen that too. That looks neat. I think my favorite is the Mustang though. It might be everybody's favorite.
Yeah.
And Porsche, is that, boy, I've never heard it pronounced.
Well, it's the Janis.
Janis Joplin?
What? Janis Joplin pronunciation.
All right. All right. Oh, like Mercedes? No.
Yeah.
She had the
all
song.
All my friends have Porsches.
All right. That makes sense.
Yeah, you know, I'm old. So if you want to go to see the Ken Block exhibit, you have to buy passes. So go to thepeterson.org and buy your passes there. Starts February 15th.
February 15th. I was supposed to go and check it out myself so I could tell you, you know, what it looks like and everything. But I was on a press trip at the time, so I was out of town. I was not unable to go.
For the press reveal or the press day or whatever?
Yeah, well, what they do is you go in and, you know, they let you walk around and look at it, and they'll have the curator there or somebody there. Check that out.
There's another thing happening in Torrance at the Honda Museum on February 15th, and it starts at 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and they're having their Cars, Bikes, and Coffee again. Now, this is a semi-regular event.
Is this the off-road one?
Yes, this right. is. This is. We talked about this last week.
Because our friend Emmy Hall, who is out at King of the Hammers right now, she is the announcer for King of the Hammers. She is going to bring her jacked up, high lifted, off road Miata, Mazda Miata.
You awesome. That. Yes.
That's so that'll awesome. Be there, and they're going to have a little off road course that you can take your off road vehicles on.
Oh, nice. Well, I might have to go. I haven't met her, but I knew she had a Miata, so I
She's
consider
a
her
a bundle of energy.
Yeah, cool. Well, yeah, that's...
So that's February 15th at Honda headquarters.
Yep, in Torrance.
In Torrance, okay.
1919 Torrance Boulevard.
And what are the hours for that?
9 to 1.
9 to 1.
And so they're going to have those ride-alongs that you mentioned on their little track, and then they're going to have free coffee. They're going to have some giveaways. They're going to have vendors. They have an on-site cafe and a store, food trucks, and a DJ. And you can pop into the collection hall, which will be open.
Now, the idea behind this, of course, you know, everything's self-serving. At least that's what I always look for as a journalist. You know, why are they doing this? They're not doing this. Well, they have the new Passport and other trail sport models. So they have all these SUVs that are very good at, you know, and most people use them just for suburban use, driving the kids to school and things like that. But they have a version of these called Trail Sport. And we're going to get into, Subaru also has a sort of an off-roady version of some of their cars called the Wilderness. Well, the Honda versions are called Trail Sport. And that's what they're going to demo on these off-road courses. Right. I don't know who else is going to be able to drive on that. I think just maybe the Honda people. We'll
yeah,
see.
They're ride-alongs. So the Honda people will drive you.
Okay, that sounds neat. Yeah, they have bigger tires and, you know, they're raised up a little bit maybe. I forget. I mean, I wrote the story on it, but it was a year or two ago. I can't remember. So, but yeah, they're a little bit more off-road capable, and they have some trim items that look kind of off-roady. So go down and check them out Saturday, February 15th, 9 to 11 at American.
Oh, no, 9 to 1.
Actually. 9 to 1, sorry.
Yeah.
At American Honda, 1919 Torrance Boulevard, enter off of Harper's Way to Main Street. More info at HondaCollectionHall.com.
There you go.
There you go.
If you want to stay in the OC for February 15th on Saturday morning, well, there's an event in Tustin at Legacy Cars and Coffee. This is the one that is kind of my hometown Cars and Coffee, and it's the third Saturday of every month now. They used to have it kind of inconsistently. Now they are consistently having it the third Saturday. And so the theme this month is La Dolce Vita, and so it will be featuring all Italian cars. And I think
are they going to get some that'll start?
Huh. Well, yeah, sure.
I can say that.
They always
do.
I was going to say, Mark, you need to motor on down.
Yep. Yep.
Or you could even bring an Italian motorcycle if you have one.
This week I do not. No.
Yeah.
No. Japanese and German.
If I go, I'm all Japanese this week. I will park far away.
It says all are welcome, right?
Doesn't all are say, welcome, but
it says here, I'm reading it. Of course, all cars are welcome.
Yes, there you all go. Are welcome, but not everyone has shame like I do. So there you go.
Oh, don't be shamed.
7:30 a.m. and on, they always have donuts and coffee there. So
yeah, well, they're going to have, it made it seem to me reading it like they're going to have some kind of Italian pastries, but that might have just been, they said featuring sweet Italian rides.
Well, you were just having a pastry moment.
Okay.
Here's the address. 1705 Flight Way, Tustin.
And there we go. 1705. Mm-hmm. That's a nice gathering. I've been to it before, and always some neat cars. And I think it's right next to the Lion Air Museum, right?
Well, no, or that's am I thinking of something else? You're thinking of the one that's on the grounds of the airport.
Okay. This one, where is 1705 Flight Way? What's that?
It's
near?
Right off of Tustin Ranch, Von Karman and.
Well, that's why we have Google Maps. Don't worry about it.
Tustin Ranch Road, I believe.
1705 Flight Way, Tustin. And that's Saturday, February 15th. Legacy Cars and Coffee, La Dolce Vita. Fire up that Fiat.
Get it down there.
Another cool event. Let's see. What time is it? We have enough time here.
We have Pelican, 4 more minutes.
Pelican Parts Open House. This is for 2 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. February 22nd, 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. So this is an afternoon event. Join us at Pelican headquarters with other Porsche, BMW, Mercedes, and other cool car enthusiasts as they celebrate 28 years of Pelican Parts. Now, Pelican Parts, of course, is where you get just about anything you need for your Porsche. And I've been to this. There is a wonderful collection of stuff. They have a Brumos 935, a two-time Sebring winning 962, along with three other 962s will be there. A Porsche 959, a GT1 powered Lola LMP prototype. Ooh. Oh my goodness, I got to go to this. That's cool. Wow. All happening there at Pelican Parts. First one to find the address wins a free hat.
Uh-oh.
No, I don't have the address.
But okay. I do
you
see
keep
something
talking.
About
I'm gonna look that
I see something about tacos.
Oh yeah, so, read that.
They'll be serving freshly made tacos for lunch, and there's a giveaway, a limited edition open house poster, more exclusive event goodies, interact directly with some of your vendors that always join us on site at the Pelican Open House. Where is this thing?
I don't know, man.
Are you Googling?
We are so unprepared.
Are you Googling?
Oh, here it is. I got it. I got their official page here. 1600 240th Street, Harbor City, California, 90710. 1600 240th Street, Harbor City, California. And that's Saturday, February 22nd. Mm-hmm. So 2 weeks away from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. It's in the afternoon. It's not one of those things where you have to get up at the crack of dawn. You know, you can sleep
in.
Can
you believe that? That's unusual.
Drive down there. And it's really nice. And I got to talk to the guys who, the founders of Pelican Parts. I talked to some of the employees who had been there forever. And it was really neat. And they do, in fact, have the Jägermeister Porsche, I think it's the Valvoline Porsche, the Yokohama liveried. These are 962s that I'm talking about. And then a whole bunch of other things. I mean, it's an amazing collection for anybody who loves cool cars. And I think yes, Michelle.
That the very next day is the 356 Club's swap meet? And I didn't include that in the event list, but it's on the 23rd and it's at EMPI Parts on 301 East Orange Thorpe over in Anaheim, FYI. So lots of Porsche stuff to keep you occupied.
That is a lot. And you don't even have to have a Porsche, do you?
Well, no, you can just be like me and want one and live like that in perpetuity.
Unrequited love.
Yes.
Oh, man. It is, Porsches are cool. The very first Porsche I ever drove was in Germany. And as soon as I got it, I was on the Autobahn going like 150 miles an hour.
Yeah.
This was in the 80s when they still, like, if you lift it off in the corner, it would still spin around. Oh. I mean, it would spin around if you didn't know what you were doing.
Let me qualify
that, because everybody out there who has one, it doesn't do that if you know what you're doing. Well, that is a good point.
Mark doesn't know what he was doing.
That is a good point. And let's throw in one more event along those lines. See, all these things start to tie in to the LA Lit and Toy Show, literature, toy, and memorabilia show for Porsches and vintage VWs, presented by Stoddard, will take place Saturday, February 22nd at the LAX Hilton Hotel. I've been to that too. It's really interesting. Ooh. They rent out a couple of the big ballrooms there, and they just have, there's aisles and aisles of tables full of Porsche literature and cool stuff. I think I bought a key fob that said VW on it. You know, remember those old key fobs where that?
Oh, yeah.
So I still have that for my Eurovan. But you can buy manuals for whatever kind of weird Porsche you have, and you can buy t-shirts, and all kinds of stuff.
I wonder if they'd have my dad's book in there. My dad, Duane Spencer, wrote some books on Porsches.
He did?
Yeah.
He wrote the book on Porsche, literally. I didn't
know that.
He
wrote a couple, yeah.
Wow. Well, cool. Yeah, you could go there and check it out. That's Saturday, February 22nd at the LAX Hilton Hotel. You can find out more at LALitAndToyShow.com, L-I-T. So no periods in L-A, just all the letters, LALitAndToyShow.com. And it's kind of cool. And then in conjunction with that is when you do all these other things, you know, the various shop tours everywhere. So, okay. It's time to beg briefly, just briefly. We're only going to beg briefly for money here. Please send us money.
We just needed to, we have to remind you that this is the February fundraising event. This is going to be a partial fundraiser for the people who are affected by the fires, and levels of donations vary from 60 to 75 to 100 to 500 to 1,000. And we'll
go. You can give $1 million if you.
Yeah, you can. But they're suggesting those figures to help Habitat for Humanity LA as part of your donation to KPFK.
Yes. And so most of, I don't know the percentages, but as usual, you usually donate money. It goes to KPFK to keep the lights on here, to keep the broadcaster humming and dinging up on top of Mount Wilson, and to keep all the things that we need to
A studio.
A studio, and our good buddy Wendell.
Love Wendell.
Everybody else who keeps KPFK going, and all the programming that you get here. I know that the car show audience might be different from the typical audience that you have at KPFK, but they are all good shows here. Every time I've tuned in, there's a show right after ours called Rhapsody in Black, and that is an excellent show. 2 hours of great music you never knew you loved. And the show right before ours is Spotlight Africa, where you understand the political situation throughout that entire continent much better due to the perspective offered by the host there. So there's just no end of valuable, worthwhile programming here, but it doesn't happen magically. It does not fall from the skies like rain? No. We need a little bit of help from you, and we only come on. We're not constantly pitching you, although it seems like it so far this hour, but we need a little help from you. And think about it. You have a lot of money. You do. I know you do. So just give some of it. Please donate some of it to KPFK. You can go to kpfk.org, or you can call 818-985-5735. And if you do it during this hour, it's like we get the credit for it. Okay. The car show gets the credit for it. And if you want them to know that you're out there listening and you like this show and you want this show to keep coming on, where you can learn about things like the LA Lit Fair and all the other stuff that we've talked about so far into the show, then call now during this hour so that Michelle and Mark and still have this hour to do the car show and keep doing the great things well, I don't know. I think the things we do is are pretty helpful. So if you want to help us out and help out KPFK, please call 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org and do it this hour. On to the news, Michelle. What do you think?
Yeah, well,
let's start.
So many calendar items. I think we do need to get into some news.
Get into some news because I was just in, not just in, I was in last weekend, I was in Las Vegas at the Mecham motorcycle auction. That was, I don't know, man, I was overwhelmed because the Mecham motorcycle auction, of course, the Mecham auctions usually do cars and they do thousands of cars. They did Kissimmee auction a couple of weeks ago in Florida. And I think, I think they had 4,000 cars moved across the block over the course of about a week. And at the their annual Las Vegas motorcycle auction, they moved 2,000 motorcycles across the block. And I've always wanted to go to that thing. And I did this year. I went there and it was quite interesting. I spent Saturday, which was the last day there. So the big ticket items rolled across the block. And the biggest ticket item, Michelle, how much do you think, how much would you guess the top selling motorcycle went for at this Mecham auction?
Are you going to give me any clues? Like what kind it is or what year it is or anything?
It has two wheels.
Well, oh, goody. That
two cylinders.
That helps.
Time's up.
I'd say $500,000.
You are off by a factor of $500,000 because it went for, if you throw in the commission, it went for $1.32 million. It is a 1915 Cyclone V-twin motorcycle, sold for $1.32 million for a motorcycle. Is that insane? Does that mean the world has ended and we are all gone, turned into barking lunatics? It used to be that, you know, the car world, you could get a car cheap, right? We've all seen those old Auto Week classified ads where you could buy a Porsche 550 for, you know, $600. Or you could buy a Jag E-Type. There was even one that was a Ferrari GTO, a 250 GTO for, I think it was $3,000 something. You know, it was just there in the Auto Week classified ads.
Wow.
But then, of course, everything took off and prices of classic cars went through the roof. Now the prices, it appears, of classic motorcycles, at least some of them, are going through the roof. And in this case, this was a record for an auction or for any, even a private sale. And it just made me wonder, is this the end of the world for affordable bikes? So I asked around a little bit and who did I talk to? I talked to a guy named, I'm scrolling through this. Sam Murtagh was the chief operating officer for Mecham. And he said that, yeah, there were numerous records being broken, but that doesn't mean collector motorcycles are all out of reach. There are still countless makes and models, hidden gems, rising stars, and others not yet recognized for their collectability. Then I also spoke to Ken Gross, the nicest guy in the world. He's sort of an expert on everything, motorcycles and cars. And he said, I think it depends on what motorcycles you're considering. Honda 754s, some of the Nortons and Triumph Tigers, Bonnevilles are still affordable. And he says, but not the Vincents. So they took
what was
off.
So special about the one that went for $1.3 million?
Well, the thing about that one is they only made, I think it was less than 300 of them. And of those, I think 12 survived. Ooh. And the thing was that in 1915, in 1915, most motorcycles were making 4 horsepower, you know, 5, maybe 6, if you had a big block. This one was 996 cc's. It was a 45 degree V twin and it made 45 horsepower. So that's 10 times more than anything else. So obviously this thing was winning every race it entered. and just blowing everybody's doors off. And that's why it it sold so well and did
all
so
right.
Well. So anyway, I was amazed at how many bikes there were there. I mean, you could, if you wanted to spend $45,000 for a 1940 something Indian or something, you could do it. But you could also get, and there were a couple of bikes that even went for $500. And there were a lot of, you know, fun, nice things that you could get for under $10,000. This was at this auction, of course. You can always, there's a million other ways to buy various motorcycles. Anyway, that was kind of interesting. And that was the thing that I saw for the first time. I'd never been to that auction. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. And I recommend you go. If you like motorcycles, go and check it out.
Do they have it at the same hotel every year or convention
this
center?
It's been at South Point.
Oh, South Point.
The first big hotel as you're getting into Las Vegas. And it's that hotel handles all, it handles rodeos.
Oh,
I'm not on Rodeo Drive.
Ouch, my ear.
That hurt your ear to say rodeo? Mispronunciation, just
it's painful.
It has to do with the legal background. But anyway, the other interesting thing was the Grand National Roadster Show was held last weekend, and the winner, any guesses?
A roadster,
a 1936 roadster built by Troy Trepanier, won America's most beautiful roadster, and deservedly so. It's sort of a gray color, very nice looking thing. I was not able to make it out there, so I've only seen pictures of it. I thought sometimes you kind of wonder about the choices that judges make in these things, but in this particular case, I felt that it was well deserved. They had 11 strong entries out there for the America's Most Beautiful Roadster out at the show. And most of them, there were no dogs in that group. They were all really good entries. There were a couple of Phaetons. There's some really nice high boys. There was a Roy Brizio orange high boy that he built for John Mumford, who has won before. So there was a nice collection of really cool cars out there. And of course, the rest of that show out there was, from all accounts, was quite good. The weather was lovely and everybody had a great time. So we had that show's owner on the car show. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't exaggerating. Everybody seemed to have a good time.
Did you run into him?
I did not go out there.
I forgot.
I got back from Las Vegas, and I had my death of cold, as they say.
Yes.
I'm still hacking up along here. People don't want to hear that.
Yes.
When you're talking.
Do you know Troy Trepanier?
Trepanier? I don't know how you say his name. Sorry, Troy. I've spoken to him several times over the years. He has entered these competitions many times.
Is he a California
before.
Guy or outside?
He lives in I think is Illinois or something.
Oh, south or
so
the
Midwest. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a Midwesterner.
Okay, got it.
But very nice guy. I mean, all these guys who seem to be in this business, I've never met anybody. Well, okay, I take that back.
Not so fast.
Almost never. Almost all of them are really nice. some of them, but that's true anywhere in the world.
Anything you get into, there's going to be a couple. Okay.
It's probably true in automotive journalism.
Joe, no, we have all the greatest people.
So that's local news. Let's go to national news our national news correspondent, Michelle Spencer.
Oh, goody. Our favorite subject.
Yep.
What's going on with the federal EV quote unquote mandate?
There is no mandate. First of all,
is there a
mandate?
No.
Okay.
There Let's never was a clear. Mandate.
There never was a mandate.
So stop calling it a mandate.
Yeah. It's like they released all the water out of the dam.
Yes.
We don't need it right now. Save it for later. Okay.
Have we campaigned enough on there was no mandate? So stop calling it that. Okay, great. So what's happening is that, and I talked about this last week, and Mark did, and you're one of your staffers wrote an article to recap.
Yes, my staffers. They would love to think that they were my staffers.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
An AutoWeek staffer. No, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
There's an AutoWeek article about it. If you would like to peruse and get a lot of the backdrop on the whole issue of whether tariffs are going to be imposed, are we going to have trouble getting imports and all that issue? And then the EV mandate. Okay, so we have the executive orders, part of the, you know, drill baby drill policy that is going into effect. And so what is the incentive to have automakers keep up with the rest of the world on EVs? Well, apparently this administration doesn't think that that's valuable. So they are saying we don't need to require any of the automakers to go forward with making EVs if they don't want to. So, you know, this is one of those things where the OEMs, the manufacturers, are probably relieved. You know, they're probably thinking this is great because they weren't selling and we don't want to have to do this. They're not selling very well. We don't want to have to keep dumping money because we know they all lose money on every single EV they sell.
Are manufacturers building them because they see that as the future and they're going to lose money now, but in the long run, they're eventually going to make money off it? Or are they building EVs because they think the government is going to force them to build EVs?
Well, I think it's both. Yeah. Right. I think that they were looking globally at what's going on in the Far East. And they're thinking we need to catch up because they're way ahead of us. That's a fact. I mean, we've had Carl Brower on talking about that. That is a fact.
The Chinese government is way ahead of us, or everybody is ahead of us?
The Chinese manufacturers are way ahead of us. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's up to the American manufacturers now to do what they think is right. Should they keep making internal combustion? Should they go hybrid? Where should they focus? So I guess this, for them, a little bit of the pressure is off. Then as far as our rebates for buying EVs, you could probably count on those going away, but they are still in effect.
But we don't know exactly how long that's in effect, right?
Correct.
The $2,500 federal tax credit.
Right.
And I assume that the California tax credit, $2,500, is still in effect.
It'll stay. There's nothing the federal government can do to force California to dump that. That's our budget. That's our money. And our people up in Sacramento are the ones who are the deciders on that. And then another issue is EV charging and infrastructure that was funded by Congress that is part of the executive order that was issued. They want to stop funding that, but that only affects projects that haven't yet started. So if there's a project that is using those federal funds to create charging stations, that is going to keep going.
Is it true? Only Congress can spend money, right? A president can't spend money.
Absolutely.
But can he stop people from spending money?
No.
Maybe?
His job really is to, as a leader, to set policy and to say, I want this. You know, I want X.
Okay. Right.
I want this to happen.
Right.
So he can, that's what these executive orders, a lot of them are.
They're sort of giving direction to Congress?
Yes. They're attempts to impose what he thinks should happen so that Congress will start passing legislation and create funding or pass laws to stop funding.
Now, if he was not best friends with Elon Musk, then it would be a much simpler thing, but he is best buddies with Elon Musk, who has created and owns Tesla.
Yeah.
So
an EV maker. Yeah. So there you go.
So what are we going to do? Because on the one hand, a lot of people say EVs are silly and let's get rid of them. But at the same time, you've got Elon Musk with Tesla. So, you know, is the new president and his administration, are they going to, you know, what are they going to do about Tesla? It's a huge part of Musk's portfolio.
Good question. And his sales are tanking.
Tesla sales are tanking.
Yes. It's another thing you can count on. His sales are going to keep going down. Why? Because the market's flooded with other comers. And also
he has a lot competition of people, because when he came out, there was no competition.
Correct.
There was Nissan Leaf and the Mitsubishi IMEF, both of which are in my driveway right now.
Yeah.
One of which each of which. Okay. But
so I'm saying that, you know, he really should probably step back because he has a personal interest, right? That's called conflict of interest in the law.
He's going to recuse himself?
No, he's not. So that's why it's so silly that he's even weighing in on important subjects and has the president's ear on these things. Yeah.
Okay, here's my other question for you. What do you think about the EPA? Is the EPA, they're the ones that set the emission standards. They're the ones that say you have to have this certain CAFE, corporate average fuel economy. And you've got, on one hand, this conservative administration that doesn't want to think at all about that. I get the sense anyway, that they would like to not have corporate average fuel economy, CAFE, and as a requirement for anybody, they want to be able to just build whatever you want to build, right? So is that going to change?
Well, based on the rapid decapitation, for lack of a better word, of what we've seen in federal agencies going on for the last 10 days, I could foresee that they're going to do the similar type of, bludgeoning at EPA.
Okay, there's a new head of the EPA, as there are, you know, anytime a new administration comes in. And from what he has said so far, it's really hard to tell. He's sort of vague about it all.
Probably doesn't know what to do yet. And he probably is waiting for direction.
Yeah. Well, we don't know what to reasonably expect from the EPA over the next 4 years.
Right.
Regulatory rollbacks for fossil fuel industries justified as boosts for the economy and platitudes about the importance of clean air and water. We don't know.
Again, the good thing for us in California is we have more people here that buy cars than anywhere else in the country.
That is true.
So we set our own standards. And a lot of the manufacturers, because they sell so many cars here in California, have to step in line with what we say.
Well, maybe they can change that because when the state of California was granted the right to set its own emission standards.
Yes.
It was quite a while ago.
Right.
And that right, that could be revoked because the federal law supersedes state law. Is that right? Michelle is a lawyer.
Yes,
you're a lawyer.
Does. It depends on certain subjects, but yes, it does overall.
How about emissions? Could the Trump administration say that federal law supersedes your California law? You no longer have the right to set your own. And by the way, no emission laws at all. So you can stand in the back of your pickup truck and shovel soot into the atmosphere as you go down the freeway. Is that what's coming, Michelle?
The key to keep our eye on is this waiver. And are they going to revoke our waiver?
We don't know. It's still too early to say.
But keep your eye on that, because that could happen.
Okay. The one thing that is going to happen is we are going to continue to need a few more funds from you here to support KPFK and this insightful programming and all the other insightful, helpful programming that you get on KPFK. We just ask that you, if you like the car show, and we've met, Michelle and I have both met so many of you. It's always nice to meet you guys out at car shows and wherever. Mm-hmm. And if you like this programming and you enjoy it, then by all means, please give us your financial support. And please do it in this hour. Don't say, oh, I'll do it later. Because if you do it in this hour, the car show gets the credit for it. There's this little list that comes out.
Yeah.
It says what everybody raised.
Yeah, you can go on kpfk.org right now while you're listening.
Easy to do.
And while you're listening, you can make your donation. You can either donate funds, or you can actually click on a link to donate a vehicle, or you can call after the show's over to make a vehicle donation.
Excellent. And you can do that by calling 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org. And we would love to hear from you.
Yeah. Click on those donation links and let them know that you're a Car Show listener.
It's so easy. Even I could do it. So please do it. Do not hesitate.
Even a boomer could do it.
Even a boomer. Okay, boomer. That expression kind of went away, didn't it?
I've not seen that. I was out and some young punk said, "Oh, are you going to get your senior discount?"
Oh, did you?
There was almost a bar fight over that.
Bar fight.
Speaking
for hopelessly awkward males everywhere, he might have been in his dumb troglodyte way trying to flirt. Is that possible?
Oh, it always is possible.
It always is possible.
But not usually I usually get that at the gas station. That seems to be where they feel comfortable coming up to me and asking me, what do you got there? That's an interesting car.
I
got to give them credit for that, right? Yeah. If they think it's an interesting
car. If they're polite and they're talking about cars, I don't know. Anyway.
And they don't look like a serial killer. Yeah. Or a homeless guy.
What are the chances of two serial killers being in the same car? Remember that joke? Okay. Let's move on to the review section because we have a couple of minutes here to talk. And I was looking over the cars that I've been driving lately. And the most interesting one, the new car, is the brand new 6th generation Toyota 4Runner. Finally in showrooms now after how many years? Michelle, take a guess. How many years it's been?
Well, I had some friends that had a 4Runner that was basically brand new in the 80s.
No, this is I forget which generation was in the 80s. No.
Oh.
The 5th generation, the one that was just replaced, was around for 15 years.
Oh, wow.
15 years. That is a long.
That's a long run.
Shelf life.
Yeah.
And they were still selling them like crazy because it is a very competent vehicle off-road, and it looks like a competent off-road vehicle when you, you just see it, especially if you get the bigger tires, the smaller wheels. Don't get the big wheels. Get the smaller wheels, 17, 18 inches. They go better off-road, okay? Better off-road. If you get low-profile tires, you're just going to pop your tires immediately.
So, dang it.
So 15 years it's been, and that was the Gen 5. Now is Gen 6 of the Toyota 4Runner. It rides on the same platform as the Land Cruiser and Tacoma pickup. In fact, it shares a lot of componentry and powertrain with those vehicles, Land Cruiser.
Cruiser
and Tacoma. It sits on the TNGA platform, Toyota New Generation Architecture F-F platform. That rides under a whole lot of other things. Some people might have complained that the previous 4Runner didn't have enough power and torque. The new model addresses that with an iForce 2.4 liter turbo. I just want to point out, Toyota, nobody is using this iForce nomenclature. Nobody says, "I got me an iForce." They want it to be the iForce to be like Hemi. "I got a Hemi." No one is saying iForce. Okay, let's move on. I've made my point. 2.4 liter turbo, and that makes 278 horsepower, 317 pound-feet of torque. But you can get the iForce Max Hybrid for offering 326 horsepower and 465 pound-feet of torque. And if mileage was a concern in the previous i4, depending on configuration, the new 4Runner returns an EPA estimated 19 city, 25 highway, 21 combined. That's in four-wheel drive, up to a maximum of, let's just go to the combined MPG, 22 MPG in the base two-wheel drive trim. So this is a true off-roader, so it's a ladder frame. It's not a crossover utility vehicle. It's an actual ladder frame pickup truck, and it's that engine is attached to a standard 8-speed automatic, no CVT. There's so many great things about this. It's an actual 4x4 with with an actual automatic transmission. Imagine now what we've come to when we're happy that we can get an automatic transmission and no CVT. Mm-hmm. So the top of the line model, and I got to drive several models. So in my opinion, the top of the line is the Trail Hunter. Comes with the equipment to conquer the most challenging trails. That comes with the hybrid powertrain, and Trail Hunter is like, it includes a number of things. If you know shock absorbers, there's this brand called Old Man Emu, which is a weird thing. It's by ARB, designed for superior performance, comfort, and durability, according to ARB. And it's got a whole bunch of stuff. It rides on 33-inch Toyo tires, on 18-inch bronze finished rims. Now, I'm guaranteeing you, if you get bronze finished rims, they will be scraped up within
minutes,
about 400 feet of going off road. So,
So budget accordingly.
Yeah, budget accordingly. But anyway, I enjoyed the 4Runner. It's available now, I think. I got to drive a whole bunch of them, and we took them off road in a. There was an off road course down east of San Diego in the mountains. It was a motocross track, and so we're driving these 4Runners on this motocross track, including a spot where we could do this jump, which was fun. They choreograph this pretty closely. They don't just let you go out in the desert and try and jump because you're going to break something. But they had it where, you know, you go at it. It had to go at a very specific speed. I think it was 35 miles an hour. And you launched off this ramp, you sailed through the air, and you landed. You know, if you land on the downhill slope just right, it doesn't break anything. So that's what we were doing. And it was quite nice. I was really impressed with this. Now, let's see, what do we got for prices? The top models are priced in the mid $60,000 range, but you can start in on an entry-level SR5 at just over $42,000, depending, of course, on how you spec it out. Now, that's like the base, the entry-level model is called the SR5 two-wheel drive. And you know what I would get? I would get that SR5. It comes standard with an automatic limited slip differential. And in my opinion, especially in 4Runners, if you get the two-wheel drive with the limited slip differential, I think you can do pretty much anything, almost anything that a 4x4 can. So if you're trying to save, you know, 10 grand or something, you can have a good time off-road in that thing. So there, that's my thoughts. What do you think? Have you driven a 4Runner ever, Michelle?
Well, no. Now, when I was talking before about my friends that had one in the 80s, they used to have the back where you could take off the lid.
That was the first one.
Yeah. And then they stopped doing that, right? Now it's all sealed up.
Yeah. There was a concept, though, called the Surf at last year's SEMA show. And that was kind of cool. And you could take it off, and it was kind of like a take on that original 4Runner. Mm-hmm. But that was just a concept. We'll see what happened. They didn't seem like they were. Sometimes when they present these things, they'll say, no, it's just a concept. Nothing's going to happen. They weren't saying that, but I don't know. I think it'd be really tough to federalize something like that. Remember the Subaru Brat?
You could sit
backwards in those jump seats.
Yeah, there was. I might have told you this. We had Miss California in our sorority, and she won one of those.
Oh.
Being Miss California.
Uh-huh.
So. We had it in front of the sorority house all the time. It was a blast.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Where was that? UCLA, right?
Yep.
Those were the days.
Yep.
Okay.
Those were the days.
Those were the days.
Whatever happened.
Whatever happened. Okay. You want to hear about the new Lexus?
Yes. First of all, is Lexus getting rid of their RCF? I thought I heard about that.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So what is this Lexus you would like to speak about?
Well, they just introduced this, and I just drove it. I was up in Northern California driving this thing. It's the Lexus 700H SUV. Now, you're familiar with the Lexus 600, which is a non-hybrid version of this. And then they took that drivetrain and basically that car, and they added a hybrid to it. So it is another. And the thing that impressed me about this, if you get a certain trim level of it, if it's really high level of trim, you get lockers front, center, and rear that lock the thing up. It's built for survivability. I asked them why they did a, why on a car like this, why put it on a ladder frame? And they said survivability. Everything you need to make the car go forward, brake, and steer are inside the frame rails. So even if you roll it over, you can't, you can keep going to get home. So that's the new Lexus 700H. Both the 600 and 700 are powered by just 3.4 liter twin turbo V6. And it's the same platform, TNGA-F platform, as the 4Runner. This one pricing starts at $106,850 for the 600 and $115,350 for the 700H. It's available now. Go down to your dealer. But you know what else is available now is fundraising for your favorite radio station, KPFK. We only have a minute left in the show here, folks, and we're going to spend it imploring you to support the excellent programming that you get here on KPFK by calling and making a donation. Please call 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org to keep us on the air, keep that transmitter humming on top of Mount Wilson. You know that thing puts out 110,000 volts? There's that other station on that AM band that brags about having 50,000 volts. Ha! Chumps! We have 110... Oh, wait a minute. I take that back. I apologize to our colleagues over there on the other end of the spectrum, but we have 110,000 watts coming out on top. And then there are several repeaters around Southern California. So this signal is reaching from Santa Barbara to San Diego, including even Orange County. Can you hear us in Orange County, Michelle?
Yep, coming in clear. Don't forget, too, that as part of the February fund drive for KPFK, that a portion of your donations will go to fund Habitat for Humanity LA's efforts on rebuilding and recovery efforts for fire victims.
That's very nice because, you know, we were all affected by that one way or another. And boy, it's really tough to see that devastation and you kind of want to do something about it. Well, here you can do something. Yeah. You can do two things with one phone call. You can support Habitat for Humanity LA in their efforts to assist in the rebuilding after the devastation, and you can keep the airwaves going by making a donation. Your generous donation is always welcome. 818-985-5735 or kpfk.org. Stick around because Rhapsody in Black is coming up. An excellent radio program with music you didn't know you loved. And let's see what else.
Don't forget to go to our Facebook page at the car show on KPFK and give us a like and a follow.
Yep. We would love to hear from you there. So we will see you next week on the car show.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, asking you to support KPFK. One of the best ways you can do it is simply by becoming a sustainer, pledging $10 or more each month. In that way, you help to protect this independent radio station. And sign up today.
You can join KPFK's sustainer program by logging on to kpfk.org.
As with so many disasters, the Eaton wildfire poses enormous challenges for the health and well-being of workers. not only responders on the front lines, but also those involved in the cleanup and rebuilding of our communities.
Al igual que muchos desastres, el incendio forestal Eaton representó enormes retos para la salud y el bienestar de los trabajadores, no solo para los que trabajaron apagando los fuegos, pero también para los que harán labores de limpieza y reconstrucción de las comunidades.
The UCLA Labor Occupational Health Program maintains an online list of resources related to disaster and emergency preparedness topics, including fact sheets in English and Spanish on the risk of wildfire smoke and toxins exposure, employer responsibilities to protect workers, and the hazards of post-wildfire cleanup work.
UCLA Labor Occupational and Health Program mantiene una lista de recursos en línea relacionados con temas de preparación para desastres y emergencias, incluyendo hojas informativas de sobre los riesgos de la exposición al humo de incendios forestales y las responsabilidades del empleador para proteger a los y las trabajadores y sobre los peligros del trabajo de limpieza después de los incendios forestales.
Further resources